Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And this is a very special one because, once again, we have some leaders from the Thai Atlanta Group. Stone, I look forward to this show every couple weeks they come in here.
Yeah, I really enjoy this segment. The folks at Thai, just a wonderful group of people, so giving, genuinely committed to serving the business community here in Atlanta, all over the country, and abroad. And I look forward to it every time we do it. This is going to be a particularly fun segment because we have two gentlemen with us who serve on the Council of Board Advisors. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mac Martirosian and Andre Schnoble. Welcome to the... I said your last name wrong after we went to all that trouble.
I know.
Before we went on air, Andre Schnabel.
I'm absolutely used to it.
Welcome, Mac and Andre.
Great to be here.
So now, why don't you tell us a little bit about your involvement with Thai and why it was important for you guys to get involved? Do you want to start with you, Mac?
I have been involved with Thai on and off for about a decade, and I initially got interested in the organization because it caters to entrepreneurs who are at various stages of development. Mm-hmm. And what I also love about the organization is that entrepreneurs who have had a successful exit return to mentor and work with younger entrepreneurs that are just starting out to make them successful. And I have found it to be a very welcoming group and one that is filled with high-octane individuals.
Andre, you want to talk about how you got involved?
I recently retired about 2 years ago. I was formerly the managing partner of Grant Thornton in Atlanta, which is an accounting and business advisory firm. And as I looked at the next chapter of my life, one component was to give back to the business community. And so the Council of Business Advisors was really one of those perfect vehicles for me to get involved, support entrepreneurs, and provide hopefully some of my experiences and show my bruises to them so that they might avoid the same kind of problems.
So is there a lot of structure to this back and forth, this giving of advice, or is there also some informal exchanges as well? How does that work exactly?
It actually comes in both forms. The structural piece is that in the case with Mac and myself, where we serve on the board of an entity, it's a $80 million subcontractor, construction industry, where the entrepreneur wanted to bring together a board of directors. And so the two of us serve as advisory board members for this entrepreneur. And we meet quarterly, and we have a structured agenda. We address business issues. We help them on anything that keeps the CEO and owner up at night. It's a forum for us to talk about those things, lay out plans of action, and hopefully make a real contribution. So that is the formal component. From time to time, the phone will ring and the CEO will say, I'm looking for a new executive. Can you help me find one? Can you help me interview, qualify them? A variety of things just come up from time to time that are also supportive of that entrepreneur's development and continuing to build their businesses with the help of outsiders, which in many cases, for closely held businesses, they don't have that opportunity.
So now, can we talk a little bit about how that happened? You have an entrepreneur that's out there in the wild, and he's working his business, and he says to himself, you know what, I think my business would be more successful if I gathered some trusted advisors around me. Is that something that every entrepreneur should do? Do you find that they do that? Like, what's been your experience in this area?
Well, you've asked multiple good questions, so let me address them one at a time. First of all, just as an add-on to what Andre was mentioning, COBA, the acronym, COBA is one initiative that Thai has.
Right.
There are many others where, again, there will be formal and informal mentoring going on. In terms of how this process works,
But didn't he speak specifically of a company that was separate from
yes.
COBA, or was that company part of COBA?
Sorry, that company is the benefactor of the COBA initiative that Thai has in place.
So this company went to COBA or went to Thai and said, "Hey, I need a board of advisors, or I need some help in this area," and then COBA kind of adopted it and then put you guys in place to help it.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. So the Thai provides a forum for companies like the one that we serve on to approach them and to say that they have an interest in having a professional advisory board for various reasons. And then Thai will source potential board advisors and will match them up with these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the process works. It's an ongoing program. It's fairly new, though. This is, again, the second year that the COBA initiative has been in place. And it is constantly being revamped and improved.
Now, is it only for companies that are $80 million businesses, or is it for smaller companies as well, or larger?
No, the size of the company is less important than some of the other criteria that Thai walks them through. So it can be a startup. Typically, however, it is a company that has been in business for some period of time because, mm-hmm. again, companies go through life cycles.
Sure.
And the company that would benefit most from the COBA initiative is one that is at a certain inflection point in their life cycle.
So do you find, even though these companies, I realize that they submit themselves to the process and they've said, we're interested, we want the input, we want the help. I wonder if early in the relationship, if you find that they're still a little bit reluctant to really open the kimono and share everything, or does that require a little bit of skill on your part to get them to open up so that you can really help them?
At the end of the day, you've got to build confidence.
Yeah,
and so you don't come out of the hatch necessarily at full blast. You need to engender confidence. Chemistry is important. Clearly, you have some real advantage because you have a receptive audience. After all, the company itself has approached COBA, is interested in getting some professional support, and so you have at the outset a receptive audience and the CEO and his management team. But the fact still remains that you've got to build confidence, you've got to work together, and over time really make things happen. And like any board of directors, the function and effectiveness of a board has to do with not only the advisors that come to the table, but the interest and receptivity of the CEO and the management team.
So now on one hand, you're saying that the CEO has to be engaged and they have to, do their part of this, right? They have to really come to the table, open up and share the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly of what's going on. What are the responsibilities of the advisors? Like how in do the advisors have to be? Is this something that they're just kind of glancing at some emails and then they go to a meeting once every quarter? Or like how immersed do they get into the business?
Well, I think I speak for Andre when I say that we take this responsibility very seriously. And no, it's more than looking at emails. For example, we were provided with a company book, a binder with the history of the enterprise, financial information, customer information, a lot of data. And as an advisor, if you're going to be effective, then you have to dig deep and take a deep dive into where the company has been to get to this point, and then listen with great intensity at the board meetings to topics that are brought up, in our case, by both the CEO and his senior management team that's invited to the meetings. So it is, it's it's a challenge because there's and part of the reason I think we both like the opportunity is that there's nothing like walking into a board meeting and instantly having to switch your headset from whatever you were doing prior to coming in to right. to really understanding that business.
I wonder if I could just bring that comment to life on a particular example. In the situation that Mac and I have been working on, the company has recently brought in a high-level executive. And in developing a compensation package, the idea and the incentive around equity and options has come up. In preparation for that, Mac and I have been talking about getting together with the CEO and controlling shareholder to ensure that the corporate structure, the capitalization of the business, is in line with the future plans that he has in growing a management team, because he has been essentially the there have been two shareholders for many, many years, and now all of a sudden we're talking about broadening the number of participants in the ownership of the business. That takes some planning, and that takes some forethought, and so our responsibility comes in a variety of shapes and sizes.
Now, each of you have your own advisory as your day jobs, right?
Correct.
How does that work differ from your work here at COBA?
Well, I don't know if it really differs that much in my case, because I serve clients that are typically in the $5 to $100 million a year revenue size, and I work directly with the business owner, call him a CEO, president, principal. And I also have clients that are much larger, but focusing on that $5 to $100 million group, it is an underserved segment of the business world, where the big firms who provide advisory service, these are small potatoes for them, and companies that are in that range have the need for senior, call it leaders, who can provide them with input without putting them on the payroll on a full-time basis. So the type of issues that come up are very similar. And frankly, that's probably one of the reasons why I was considered to be a worthwhile COBA participant.
So you know where my head goes on all this is our situation. We got a couple of major shareholders. We've got people that have expressed an interest in investing some money. We want to grow. We know we need people smarter than us helping us figure this thing out. One of the questions that comes to mind for me, because it's so personal and so relevant to our operation, how do you know when you're ready to go seek out a board of advisors or to try to get involved with Ty and COBA? What are some indicators that, hey, it's really time we ought to do this?
Well, it is a that's a great question.
That was a fantastic question.
Can I have my $5? And it really comes down to the CEO or whoever the leader of that business enterprise is to have the maturity to step back and say, I've brought this company or this organization up to a certain level, and in order for it to move to the next life cycle, I need to have some independent views from people who have some experience. And that's a very difficult decision for the average entrepreneur. So, again, it'll vary, but I think that inflection point, maybe business has gotten tough, so I need somebody to come in here and help me, get us back on track. Or it may be that we're looking to move in a new strategic direction, and I need some good, solid thinking around that. Andre, what do you think?
Well, at what point in life, whether as an individual or as a corporate executive, do you actually have choices? If you've got choices, you don't think it would be more constructive and helpful to have others who are independent of the day-to-day operations of the business to help you make those choices. And I think, I don't think it's ever too early to seek help, to get, especially if it's not going to cost an arm and a leg. In this particular case, it's actually a contribution of our time because we just enjoy doing it. To me, that's good value, and I would encourage others to do it sooner rather than later.
Now, how do you differentiate between mentoring and advising?
I'm not sure there is a difference. I wouldn't know where to draw that line, quite frankly. I think that mentoring suggests to me a certain personal element as opposed to the role cold-hearted fact of advice. But I think that advice is better taken if you've got a warm, nice package that you're delivering it in. So I'd consider them to be part of the same.
The reason I'm asking is Thai has mentoring programs and they have this board advisor program. Right?
Correct.
I'm just trying to understand the difference between the programs.
In the case of Thai, the mentoring is done typically with very early stage entrepreneurs and early stage companies. Mm-hmm. It can be something as informal as two people getting together before a Thai meeting starts in the 30 minutes that precedes the formal session starting. It can be mentoring some young entrepreneurs who are in high school. There's a high school program called TYE.
Mm-hmm.
Thai Young Entrepreneurs. And so it can take that form. The COBA initiative is, again, for an established company that has revenue flow, that has a life cycle that's beyond the startup
stage. It's
proven
that it's viable, at least, and that it needs some help. And then, so now, say there's a company that wants to – they apply for this? How does this work?
Yes, the company will, again, approach Thai, or Thai may reach out to certain companies mm-hmm. that it deems to be potential benefactors of this program. And another thing that's different between the mentoring and the COBA is that the COBA initiative actually costs the company money.
Okay.
So there's an investment. And Thai thought that this would make sense because everybody has skin in the game.
Sure.
And the mentoring is really just volunteer work,
right.
One-on-one. So once the company approaches Thai or is identified by Thai, then there is a process that they go through. And if any of your listeners have an interest in this, they can go to atlanta.thai.org and click on the COBA tab,
mm-hmm.
and it will walk them through what's involved.
Now, is the price the same no matter the size of the company, or is it based on the revenues of the company?
I don't recall because, again, I'm not
right.
In the administration part of Thai. I believe the fee is the same, but I'm not sure.
So now, once somebody is accepted in the program, then Thai matches up advisors that they deem appropriate with the background that's needed to help grow the company?
Correct. They will look for individuals who might have some subject matter expertise in that particular industry segment, mm-hmm. or they might go through an interview process, and the CEO says, look, I need somebody that has a finance background
right.
or HR or marketing.
Depending on, like, if they're franchising, maybe they get somebody with franchising background, or if they're hiring somebody, maybe recruiting background.
Correct. They may be looking for diversity on that board of advisory group. So,
and how many people are on a typical COBA?
Three.
And so, like, if I needed a better-looking co-host, for example, would that fall into it?
I would go after a different group.
Well, I can only imagine how rewarding it must be to participate in this process, provide your counsel, get to know these folks, and watch their progress and watch them grow. I mean, that must be incredibly rewarding. I can't imagine.
I think that's what keeps us coming back. If it weren't rewarding, And a lot of the reward obviously has to do with the fact that people are actually listening to what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can see it having an impact on their businesses. You can see them change processes. You can see them enter new markets. You can see them actually do stuff that were topics of conversation and meetings that you've attended and things that you may have thrown on the wall personally. That's what it's all about. It allows you to enjoy, feel a sense of giving back to our community, making entrepreneurship that much more effective for that particular business. And yeah, I think that's a lot of fun. That's why we're certainly not doing it for the money.
Now, can you share maybe a success story that you were able to impact a company you work with?
Well, I think the example that we give for the business that Mac and I co-serve on, this is a business that has gone through quite a time as the broad economy has gone through a tough time as far as construction is concerned. And through that, this company needed to reposition itself. It needed to reposition itself from a financial standpoint, from a human resource standpoint. It's also made significant changes in the number of offices and markets that it's addressed. And all of those items have become topics of conversation. And we're coming out the back end of a recovery here. And this particular year is looking like it's going to be a lot better than last year. So I consider that a success.
Well, and I'm sure that, or at least so many advisors and mentors have shared with us in the past that they feel like they learn from the interaction with the client and they continue to hone their craft. And I wonder, the two of you probably really learn from each other. Do you find yourselves wanting to collaborate on projects outside of COBA as well and hang out together on other stuff?
Well, I can. That's interesting that you should bring it up. I happen to be working on a transaction. I'm looking for financing for a recapitalization of a business. And during the due diligence process, the lender raised some issues that I believed that Mac could really shine some light on. Picked up the phone, phoned Mac, we got together, and we started chatting. I didn't know Mac before this program started.
Oh, wow.
So for me, not only have the opportunity to work with Mac, I got myself a new buddy and a new addition to my Rolodex, and so that's all good news.
Right, and the a bowl of collard greens at OK Cafe was great too.
That closed the deal. Now, relationships are important, obviously, and that's a good example of that, and you never know where they're going to come from. How important in your advice is opening up doors and connecting the person you're advising with other people that can be help them move the ball?
Well, very important. Look, networking is such an important part of what we do in our individual advisory practices. And that becomes invaluable when you are in a board advisory position. An example of that would be if the company is doing a talent acquisition search. The best place to find that person is through the network. Mm-hmm. Everybody will admit that and agree to it. So we have put that to use at the company where we serve. And there have been other instances where somebody's looking for some input with respect to one of three buckets: people, process, or systems. And I'm a former Home Depot alum, and so I have many contacts there where I can reach into any one of those buckets and be able to make connections. So we certainly use it to our advantage.
I can think of another example where clearly a lot of businesses are wrestling with the Affordable Health Care Act, the impact it has on their business, what the costs are, what the restructuring needs, talent acquisition that will be able to administer the program, and connecting people with professionals who really understand the statute, who really are working with and advising a lot of companies navigate this whole process. That's something that we can bring to our board.
So I have a parting question that you may or may not have an answer to, and that's okay because neither do we. But we've had an opportunity over the last few months to interview several people involved with TIE in some way. We've actually had a group of the kids from the TYE that you mentioned earlier. We've had charter members in here. We've had people involved in the mentoring program and council board advisors. And we refer to this thing around here at Business Radio X as this TIE mystery magic. There's something about the way people affiliated with TIE carry themselves, invest in other people. I can't put my finger on it. Do you have any insight on what is it about TIE that I don't know? To me, it just sets them apart a little bit from other organizations that are every bit as well meaning, but they just don't have that. I don't know what to call it. You got any insight on this, Andre?
Yeah, it's funny. Here again, Mac and I were just chatting a little bit about another unrelated event. But at the end of the day, organizations fail or succeed or get that magic because of a core group of leaders, a core group of people that have the passion and the energy to attract that outer circle of people who then begin to get involved and engaged. That really moves the organization forward. To me, it's all about the people. And if you like them and you think they're smart and they're motivated and they really are engaged, organizations move.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think what differentiates TIE, in my view, is the quality of the people that are there. When you add highly competent individuals who have a selfless desire to serve fellow entrepreneurs and to do it from the very start, which is, again, the high school children all the way through, there's another initiative that focuses on social giving and social entrepreneurship mm-hmm. for people that have entered the life cycle and personal life cycle stage where, you know, they want to do some good for the community. So you have that entire span being served by this group. You're going to attract a lot of good folks. And Ty is very welcoming, very accommodating, and smart enough to offer enough programs for anyone who is moving through that entrepreneurial cycle.
Now, what is COBA looking for? Do they need more advisors? Do they need more companies to advise?
They're actually looking for more companies. There is a fairly strong inventory
of
advisors that are available. And again, it's not for every business person to, you know, a business leader to step in and utilize the service of mm-hmm. this COBA initiative. But that's what they're looking for.
So when you were working with the company you're working with, did you ask them, like, why they chose this group to affiliate, or why they could have gone out on their own? I'm sure at that size they had trusted advisors they could have relied on, but they chose TIE to be kind of the conduit to you guys.
Yeah, I really don't know the outreach process that TIE goes through, but it is certainly a brand that is out in the business community, is becoming increasingly known, and therefore it's reaching more and more entrepreneurs. Many of these entrepreneurs actually hear about it as members and involvement in TIE, mm-hmm. and they then hear about COBA, and they say, sounds like an interesting opportunity for me. I think I'm going to grab it. That's one thing. The other thing, that this doesn't necessarily answer the same question, but I will tell you that although there is an inventory of advisors, it's really important to match the right people with the right mm-hmm. companies. It is actually crucial. We have seen some good choices and some not so good choices. You tend to make sure that you improve the process constantly, and when needed, swap people out, because it's like any board environment. It works when people are communicating effectively. And if you're talking past each other rather than listening to each other, you don't have a successful recipe.
Now, is there a tenure that you have to commit to?
Yes, there is. There's a three-year commitment. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it for 3 years. I don't know if they'll re-up us after that. but yes, that was the commitment that I made and the company made in order to really make sure that we get enough traction and make a difference.
Matt, right. did you negotiate a different deal?
And let me call my agent. Andre is absolutely correct. There is a one-year out if either party chooses. The company can step out at the end of year one, two, or three, and the advisor can do the same. At least in our case, they have re-upped for year two, and so have we. And I think, again, this is the level of maturity that has to come with this process. If you're going to see any improvement in your organization, it's not going to happen after four meetings.
Right. And how often are the meetings?
Quarterly.
So every 3 months you guys are all getting together. That's a commitment on the part of the company and the advisors.
Correct.
And is there a communication throughout the year, or is it you just hear from them every 3 months?
It's essentially formally it's every 3 months. But
how do they update you to what's going on in the business on a regular basis, or is that it, or quarterly?
There is informal communication. I mean, I happen to be a golfer, as is the CEO of our company. So we have fairly constant updates on the golf course. And as I mentioned a little earlier, when the whole issue of talent acquisition came up, they were looking for a new CFO. I got involved in helping identify the candidate and helping qualify that candidate. And similarly, in the HR area, Mac has made a major contribution in helping them guide them through identifying the right individual, what the job description looks like, and that happens outside of the ordinary course of the formal quarterly meetings.
Right. And one other point to add to this is that the COBA option is a very good option for companies that want to have a very informal process of talking to folks one-on-one and a very formal board of directors process, right? Because, again, remember, this is board advisor. So legally, it's different from having a board of directors, right, which becomes far more complex in terms of cost and legal issues and so forth. So it's really a very good middle ground option for companies to choose.
Well, Mark, what is it with me and the names
today? I don't
know.
It's Monday.
No problem, Joe. Go ahead.
You know what's ironic? That's his real first name.
Really? Wow. I must have telepathy going on here.
Well, Mac Martirosi and Andre Schnabel, it has been an absolute delight having you both in the studio this morning. Keep up the good work.
Now, one before we go, what's the website again for companies that are interested in this?
It's atlanta.tie.org. And then click on the COBA tab.
And then you can apply there. You can get more information.
Correct.
Well, thank you both for being part of the show. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.